I'm joined by Alistair Spence-Clark. Alistair, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. As you say, an interesting day.
To put it quite mildly, indeed, it always just seems to be a bit facile, doesn't it, when we talk about things. I mean,
Totally.
It's very, very worrying and disturbing indeed. And obviously, Reuters are now reporting the Ukraine's military says the country is being hit by a second wave of missile strikes. So, we are in for a rocky 24 hours to put it mildly. And of course, a lot of Spanish banks investing in Russia. A lot of obviously Russian nationals, a lot of Ukrainian nationals have made their homes in Spain as well.
You know, I know some Ukrainians, and I mean, this is incredibly sad. As you say, it seems absolutely facile to be talking about Spanish taxes, but
Anyway, but you know, I mean, life. You know, certain things. Alistair, as the saying goes, certain things in life are immovable and inviolable, and you know, literally, they could literally be raining missiles down on Madrid, but Hacienda would still probably find a way.
The M720.
I know.
Where's
my M720?
Exactly.
They say. So the word that strikes fear into us all.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about that to start with, because it's the last month of the M720, and there's still a lot of confusion out there. So yeah, basically, if you've got to follow an M720, despite all the decisions that have been made by European Court, etc., you've got to file by the end of March. So now the good news, if there is any such a thing as good news today, is that the fines are, you know, the worst case is €200. For failing to file for each item of data which is inexact, false, or omitted, using the words in Spanish law.
Right.
And because of the decision, and because Spain has recognized that the EU decision has full application, we've seen an avalanche of M720s for the people who basically wanted to sort out their affairs, but they couldn't, because the M720 regime, when it existed, was so brutal. Talking about Putin, sort of Putin's regime for the M720, so brutal that people said, well, I can't take the risk. I can't disclose the things that I should have disclosed and I want to regularize. Well, anyway, these people have been freed by the EU courts, and, you know, they are filing the declarations, filing the last 4 year tax returns for all the stuff that they haven't been able to disclose, foreign assets and stuff. And so Spain's actually going to get more money this year because of the EU court decision, because people have said, I can now regularize my affairs. So I suppose that's good news. Now, a bit more on the M720. A lot of people have moved here, are filing for the first time, and they don't realize that they've got to file their M720 for the first time, because they know they've got to file an income tax return later on this year, but the M720 is the first thing they have to do. And a lot of people have got UK companies. I've talked about this before. And UK companies have bank accounts. And if you're a director of a company, you have control of the foreign bank account, even though it's not your bank account, it's the company's bank account. You have to disclose it. So a lot of people don't realize that if you are a director of a company that has bank accounts abroad, you have to disclose that in your M720, even if they're not your bank accounts.
Okay, that's an interesting
weird
one.
M720 is the weirdest thing you've come across, basically. Also, some people, you know, they're trustees. You know, they act as trustees for family trusts and stuff. Again, they have to disclose. Even though it's not their money, they have to disclose them. Okay?
Yeah.
So enough about M720. Now, there's something, I'm going to be writing an article about this. I haven't done it yet, but I will be writing an article. But I just thought I'd do a little advance on the radio. And that's about rental properties. Now, Brits, like Americans, Canadians, Russians, and Ukrainians, if they have rental income in Spain, do not get any deductions. So if you have an apartment, you've got a mortgage, you pay community fees, IBI, you pay for redecorating and all the rest of it, you get no deductions for this at all. So when you pay your tax on your rent in Spain, you get no deductions.
Okay.
Now, if you're a Spaniard or an EU resident, you get all those deductions. So basically, anybody who's non-EU is seriously disadvantaged, discriminated against. Now, last year, in fact, just around about the Brexit time, a question was put to the EU Commission about, are they going to take action against Spain like they've done with the M720, like they did with inheritance tax and all the rest of it? Are they going to take action against Spain for its discriminatory law?
Yeah.
And we thought that they would. We thought that this is such a blatant discrimination against the European founding treaty that they must take action against Spain. And to our astonishment, they decided not to.
Any particular idea why they have decided not to, though, Rich?
Sure. This is not a popular thing for me to say. I think it's because of Brexit.
Okay.
The question went into the Commission near the early part of 2021. And, of course, that's just about the time that Brexit happened. So the EU Commission was thinking, why the hell should we do anything to favour the Brits? Or, sorry, correct the disadvantage to the Brits. And they turned around, and basically in September, they said the word is archivar, which is basically throw the question into the long grass. or in fact, basically just say, we're not taking any action. So it's very sad. The EU Commission, it's a very, very obvious example of bad faith of the EU Commission because of Brexit. Now, we've got to do something about this, and we will be doing something about this, but we're trying to figure out the best strategy to use the Spanish system, or indeed the European system, to get the proper rights for Brits, Americans, Chinese, New Zealanders, you know, Turks,
yeah,
who make investments in Spain and are screwed by the system. So we want to do something about that, and we will do something about it. In the meantime, I'm going to write an article explaining all this and put it on our website. But
it's one of those unforeseen perhaps situations that now the Brits in Spain or Brits in the EU are now third countries, aren't they? And this is one of the things that all the minutiae that we didn't realise or didn't think or we were warned about, but we thought it wouldn't happen are coming to fruition.
To be fair, I don't think anybody would have actually expected the EU Commission to have such bad faith. It wasn't expected that, it would act positively to disadvantage people. It's one thing to say we're not going to extend the benefits of freedom of movement, etc. So it's another thing to actually positively take action against a country. And that's what's happening with the EU Commission, sadly. And they do this on customs duties. They do this, and obviously Northern Ireland we've heard about and all the rest of it. But they're doing this to Brits because they're not taking up the cudgel against something which is grossly discriminatory in Spanish law. So basically, we don't have the protection of the EU Commission and the EU courts. We have to take action ourselves through the Spanish courts, which we will do somehow, one way or the other, using our tax association or putting through a test case. But we're going to do something because we want to expose this gross discrimination. It's very hard to get around. There are ways of getting around the problem, but it's expensive, it's inconvenient, and it's wrong.
As the saying goes, then, we will watch this space as you head off on another fiscal crusade. Now, yes. Cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, that's a very interesting subject.
Yes. I'm forever being cornered at parties or functions of people saying, you need to get into this and you need to get to that, and we're going to make, it's going to go through. Yeah. It's the new way of transferring money and the new way of doing business. And I just thought to myself, if it's a new way of doing business and transferring money, then our friends at Hacienda will no doubt have something to say about this one.
Yeah, a lot. Or should I say not enough? And what they have said is very confusing. I wrote an article at the beginning of 2021 or maybe 2020 where I expounded the best we could figure out on cryptocurrencies, how they should be treated for income tax, wealth tax, how they should be treated for the M720. And in 2021, I think it was May and June, we received three separate rulings from the tax office, which helped us understand. I mean, the problem we got is there's nothing in the law about cryptocurrencies. They are weird. Tokens. They're very strange things. And, of course, Spanish law has to be taken literally. And if you haven't got it in Spanish law, then you're in the very dangerous area of called interpretation. And my interpretation may not be the same as another person's, particularly a tax inspector's. So it's always a bit of a threatening area, if I can put it that way. But anyway, There's an article on our website where I spend probably too much time explaining what cryptocurrencies are and a bit of history and all the rest of it, but I find it interesting, and it gives a kind of context to the problem that Spain has with cryptocurrencies. So I think it's worth a read. And in that, I do explain the income tax, wealth tax, and M720 interpretation of it. So, you know, for the benefits of our readers, to make a very long story short, income tax, basically, it's just like anything else, thank God. We don't want any other weird stuff. And right. If you buy... yes, we got enough.
Resignation in your voice when you say that, Alistair, that always makes me sort of... my cynical smile.
Yes, well, it depends on the day of the week, actually. I'm usually better on a Monday. Basically, if you buy some cryptocurrency you invest in, the euro value that you acquire those at, so therefore you have to look up the euro value on the moment that you buy that cryptocurrency, is one value, and then you have the value when you sell it. And you might sell that cryptocurrency, leave it in a foreign currency or whatever, but you've got to translate the sale value of that cryptocurrency into euros on the date and, in fact, the moment of sale, because obviously the exchange rate fluctuates during the day. So you take those two values, cost price, sale price, and you calculate the difference. And pretty simple, really. Pretty simple, except... there are people out there who use bots.
Yes. Now, bots, for those who don't know,
are sort of automatic processes, like little kind of robots, virtual robots, which buy and sell things according to criteria, parameters that you program into the bot. And so, therefore, you could have hundreds of transactions a day. Wow. So, yeah. How do you account for that in your tax return? Well, we have examples, and we've had examples of similar things in the past. And basically, this is not what the law says. The law says every single transaction should be a separate line in your tax return. But actually, the tax office, the tax inspectors, do understand that they don't want a tax return with 2,000 entries in it. And so they'll accept a summary. Or they'll accept a total of the transactions in your tax return. So, you know, if in a year you've made 10,000 euros and that's the net value according to the statement you've received,
yeah,
then they'll accept that as long as you've translated it into euros at the correct values. And they'll accept estimates as long as, if you have a tax inspection, you've got the justification for summarizing those hundreds or thousands of transactions in the manner that you've done. Now, you can justify your estimate or you can justify your calculation. So, you know, the Spanish system may not specifically legislate on how to deal with profits and losses, but, there are pragmatic ways of dealing with it, you need to talk to somebody who knows how to do that.
Okay.
So that's income tax. Now, wealth tax is much easier. 31st of December, whatever the value of those cryptocurrencies are, or tokens, or whatever they are, on the 31st of December, you work them out according to the exchanges that give values, and you top them up, and that's your value for wealth tax. Nice and simple.
Okay.
And then we move back to our friend the M720, never-ending source of amusement for strange accountants. The M720, you won't believe it, it's like gold bars. You can have gold bars in Geneva in a bank worth billions, but you don't have to declare it on your M720 because it doesn't say so. I love this. Yeah. I love tax law. Well, cryptocurrencies are the same. Because it doesn't explicitly say so in the M720 legislation, you don't have to declare the cryptocurrencies in the M720.
Okay, that's an interesting... Yes, I see what you're saying.
Isn't that mad?
Yes.
Isn't that insane?
Indeed.
same thing. Let's just say you have made a loan to a company in Holland.
Right.
I don't know, family company.
Yeah.
You've made a loan. It's an investment. They're going to pay you 5% interest. You don't have to declare that loan either because it's not explicitly stated in the M720.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, that seems
sensible.
Yes, indeed. I was looking for the right word. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, anyone who's interested on M720 nonsense, and for me, it's absolutely fascinating. The best thing to do is go on our website, and you'll find, just type M720 in the search icon. type M720 and there are two or three articles about M720, including a frequently asked question, which tells you all about this. Okay?
Okay, yep.
Enough about cryptocurrencies and M720s.
Right.
For something completely different.
Something completely different, yep. Okay.
Company directors, shareholders.
Yes.
They are slightly weird in Spain. If you are a director with more than 25% or more of a company, you fall into a particular category. And that category is a bit odd because you are treated as an autónomo,
yes.
Self-employed.
And we know how much Spain loves an autónomo.
Oh, they love them, yeah. But you're a special autónomo. You're an autónomo societario. So again, I published an article on this specifically, so don't expect, you know, people to listen to every word I'm saying. But there's a lot of confusion about this type of regime, and so I have explained how it works in this article. But basically, a director with more than 25% of a company is treated as self-employed. And unfortunately, they pay an extra 90 euros a month compared to the normal self-employed. I've no idea why.
Right. What particular difference? So it's just run that one by me again, please, Alistair.
Yeah, what happens is if you're an autonomy, you pay about 280 or 290 euros a month in social security. A director of a company is going to pay 380.
Yeah.
The difference actually is due to the fact that the autonomo societario is regarded the same as an autonomo with 10 employees.
Right.
So if you're an autonomo and you employ 10 people, you're kind of a super autonomo. And therefore, yes, I know.
I'm just thinking of my outfit. Sorry, I'm just thinking, do I get a cape with that? Yes.
This makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the autonomo societario is regarded the same as a sort of super autonomo, and they pay an extra 90 euros. And in fact, that secures better pension rights, because what you contribute, theoretically, you get back if you've been here enough years. Of course, a lot of people who come here are never going to have a pension from Spain because they're not going to be here enough years. Anyway, moving past that, the big thing is, can a new autonomo, can a new company director claim the Tarifa Plana? And that is the special scheme where a new autonomo only pays 60 euros a month. And the answer is yes. Since 2019, when the Supreme Court castigated the Social Security Office, which was refusing the Tarifa Plana for directors, we've been able to claim the Tarifa Plana for directors of companies, newly set up, of course. It's about 80 a month, not 60 a month, but it's still there.
Yeah.
So that's another piece of confusion that I'm clearing up. Now, the other thing about directors of companies is that we often find that they don't declare a salary. Because they're not in the social security system, which involves the social security monthly filings and all the rest of it, they just don't have a nomina. They don't have a pay slip. And what happens is they draw money out without... They draw their wages out, effectively, but they don't do it properly. They don't do it with a nomina. They don't show it as wages. And the bookkeeper, who probably doesn't speak a word of English, doesn't even ask them the reason why they've taken the money out. And so what they do is they just treat it as a loan.
Right.
Which is horrendous, because that loan has to be repaid. And the director has no knowledge of this, never looks at the accounts. Nobody ever says anything. So, you know, 10 years later, they've got a loan account with 400,000 in it. If you can believe that, I've actually come across that in practice. So what I'm saying is, if you're an autonomous authority, you're a company director, your own family company, whatever, make sure that you draw money out monthly, quarterly, whatever, but you do it against a pay slip. If you do that, it can never go wrong. Your assessoría fiscal will not make a mistake. And you don't even have to have a conversation because they expect it. The right piece of paper, they do the right thing. If you don't have the piece of paper, they'll do the wrong thing. Okay? So that's a little bit of extra information. Happens a lot. We come across it when we pick up new clients. So I'm just saying to people out there who've got a decent assessory or whatever, who may not have communication skills, just make sure you have a proper nomina and then it won't go wrong.
Alistair, I'm going to have to cut you a little bit short, because I'm going to try and get over to Kiev, if that's okay.
I think you should.
If it's okay with you. But if people want to get more information about what's going on in the Spanish tax system and anything to do with that, where can they find you?
They can find us online, spenceclark.com, or they can give us a ring, 952-822-2943. Always delighted to talk to people and answer questions, trying to clear up doubts. And now, Giles, go on to something much more important and go and talk to your friends in Kiev.
Thank you very much for your time. Alistair Spence-Clark, as always, take care. That's Alistair Spence-Clark. Join us. Go to spenceclark.com for more information about that and many other issues.